Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter, and joining us today is Edward Campbell, CEO, President, and Chairman of Nordson Corporation, as well as Greg Thaxton, the CFO. And the company trades on NASDAQ, and the ticker symbol is NDSN. And Nordson Corporation is a global manufacturer of equipment used for precision material dispensing, testing, inspection, as well as surface preparation and curing. Thanks for joining us today there, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Juan. We're glad to be with you as well.
Anytime. Now, let's get right into it. What were some of the value drivers behind the company's quarterly results, which were particularly strong?
Well, Juan, after the weakness that emerged in initially financial markets towards the latter part of calendar 2008, and then reaching a bottom probably in January and the February time period, we've continued to see sequential growth in the orders we've received from our customers. And in our second quarter, announced back in May, and here again in August when we've announced today our third quarter results, that improvement in orders has manifested itself in sequentially stronger sales and correspondingly improving profit relationships.
Great. And, you know, certainly you're able to beat the street with those results. And what's your outlook for the Q4?
Well, you're right. First of all, with regard to the beating estimates for the third quarter, we ended with earnings per share of 71 cents a share versus a guidance that we had put out at the beginning of the quarter back in May that was between 38 cents and 50 cents per share. And so that 71 cents was very strong, and it was done on the basis of significant success and moving the top line, getting gross margins and profitability at levels even better than we had initially guided. And that was driven by both good product mix, sales to market segments that are particularly stable and bring with it good profitability. And this management team has done a tremendous job in taking out cost as we've acted aggressively beginning back in the fall of last year and have continued to take out cost through this year as well. Now, with respect
Great.
To the fourth quarter and the our expectations for that, we expect to see continuing sequential improvement in revenue. Our numbers today that we shared with investors were with sales revenue up 11% from the third quarter of this year, and with continuing good margin and expense control, our expectation is that we'll produce earnings per share 81 cents compared to the 71 cents we earned in the third quarter, and we also expect to have operating margins expand even wider from the 18% in quarter three to 19% of sales in quarter four at the midpoint of our guidance. And finally, to have a return on sales that is a very strong 12% in that fourth quarter.
Great. And now in regards to your dividends, you also boosted your dividends over 4%.
We did. That continues a record that we have now had for 46 consecutive years where we have increased the dividend paid to our shareholders from the year before. It's a record that at that many years is not only very long-standing and important to us, important to our shareholders, but really proud of the fact that we've been able to distinguish ourselves as being only among 16 of all public companies that have had a record uninterrupted for that length of time. And with the kind of numbers that we've put out today with free cash flow over the last three quarters that have been a full $100 million on revenue that we've had, we're very confident that that's a record that we're going to be able to sustain going forward.
Great. Sounds good. And the following is a two-pronged question. What specific markets do you cover? And where can we find some of your main products? And talk about your three main business segments.
Sure. Well, Nordson is a producer of factory equipment. So the customers that we sell to use our machinery in a variety of factory processes. And these extend into a wide array of end markets. Our largest single end market that we sell to are consumer non-durable goods, where customers would use our systems to close packages, to assemble disposable baby diapers, to coat the inside of beverage cans, for example. And then the other large segments that we sell to would include the sale of products to technology customers used from everything from the assembly of microprocessors that are used in personal computers to the assembly of a variety of different devices that go into a variety of cell phones, all the way to the manufacture of things that are used in the surgical operating room like catheters. Our three segments, the largest is adhesive dispensing systems. So these are those systems that we would sell to customers that they would use to do apply adhesives in some of those examples that I gave. The second largest segment is advanced technology systems, and again, those are ones that are either used to apply adhesives in the assembly of some of these technology products that I discussed a bit ago, as well as systems that are used to inspect the work that's done, test the progress of the assembly process, or to treat some of the surfaces prior to the time that materials are applied. And then our third segment, it's Nordson's original business, but it is our smallest, and it's the sale of systems used to apply materials to either coat metal products or the inside of beverage cans with either powder or liquid materials, and that's our industrial coating and automotive business segment.
Great, and perhaps this is a tough question to gauge, but how many competitors do you have in this arena, and what differentiates Nordson from some of the other players in your sector?
Well, Nordson, as a provider of equipment to a very diverse set of end markets on a global basis, and in fact, over 70% of our sales are outside of the United States, we see many competitors across these geographies and across these end markets. And in fact, the majority of our competitors tend to be regional in nature, often private companies that may have strength in one particular part of Europe or one particular part of Asia, but we wouldn't see them in other geographies. And the way in which we differentiate ourselves as a global producer and one that enjoys significant and strong market positions is that we provide our customers the full array of not just products, but services that support our customers and the assessment of what it is that they need to improve their production process, and then the after-sale installation and ongoing aftermarket support of services and parts. So that our objective and that way in which we differentiate ourselves is that we sell solutions and we sell success for our customers, and we don't differentiate ourselves on the basis of being the lowest price company, but rather the company that makes our customers more successful with the reliable equipment and services that we offer.
Yeah, you certainly do get what you pay for. And can you guys talk to us about some of the trends right now and some of the emerging trends in the market and how well-positioned Nordson Corp is to capitalize on them?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that we're enjoying the benefit of in recent times is that we seem to be on the upswing side of the economic dip that we've all suffered from over the last 11 months or so since it first began to melt down on Wall Street. And with that improving circumstance, we see better liquidity on behalf of our customers as they now have access to credit markets. We see better confidence that are emerging not only in industrial markets where we sell, but also the customer confidence that puts a demand on our customers' products and therefore produces the demand that they see to invest in Nordson kind of products. Where we've seen very interesting growth in demand for our products in recent quarters has been in some of those technology end markets where the low-priced computers that are designed for the Internet, as well as smart cell phones and so on, have put demand for some of the capabilities that we offer customers. And we reported today that sales of our advanced technology products had grown by 38% from what we had sold just 3 months ago in our second quarter. So we continue to make the investments that we need to access ourselves to this improving external environment, and we're able to expand the kind of financial results we bring to shareholders as a result.
Great. And so with this in mind, would you consider some M&A activities and or some strategic partnerships? And if so, what are some of the synergies that you'd look for?
Sure. I think that's a great question because, in fact, back when the financial crisis first hit global markets, we, along with a lot of other companies, recognized that this was an unprecedented set of challenges that we and perhaps even more importantly our customers faced. And so we did put the brakes on things that would require large investments of capital in order to preserve the liquidity on behalf of our business and our shareholders. And now we're on the backside of that circumstance, and now we find ourselves in a circumstance where we're actually producing significant amounts of free cash, and the amount of debt in our balance sheet is actually at levels that we've not seen in many, many years, i.e. it's very low. So we have the resources to make those kind of investments, and we look for organizations that would extend our capability either geographically or into some of the target markets. For example, some of the life science markets where we think we have technology and capability to bring successful solutions for prospective customers, but perhaps in areas where we might not have the infrastructure or the reputation to these, in this case, life science customers. And so we are open to investment ideas that might give us that kind of pathway to growth and success. I would comment, though, that I think M&A activity is apt to continue to be low in this period of time because in many circumstances, as I put it, companies are sold and not bought. And the selling owners of companies that might consider an offer from a potential acquirer are going to be looking to do so at a time when equity values are high, when their track record is strong, and that they can ensure that they've got the most successful marketing program for their business. And frankly, in times like this, when financial markets and demand among customers has been more challenged, companies oftentimes don't have the kind of track record that causes them to say to themselves, you know, now's the time I think I ought to sell that business. So I think the opportunities to make these investments will be more challenged in the near term than they might otherwise be in a time period where financial track records of potential sellers are very strong.
Sure, yeah, it makes sense. You have to pick your spots. And so in terms of, can you walk us through your background and experience, Ed and Greg, as well as that of some of the key management team over at Norton Corp?
Sure, absolutely. I'll start with myself, and then I'll ask Greg to make a comment. I've been with Norton 21 years and have been involved in the operating side of the company as well as many of the acquisitions that we've done over years. And I've had the privilege to be the CEO of Norton now in my 12th year. So that's my background. Greg?
Yeah, I've been with Norton as well, coming up on 20 years, starting initially in the corporate headquarters, but really spent most of my time with the company on the operational side as well, helping start up many of our businesses in Asia and Latin America, and also having financial responsibility for some of the segments, and then transition back here into the corporate office in 2006.
And then, Juan, just to add the background of some of the other key managers that we have leading our businesses and in sales regions around the world, this is a team of executives that have extensive Norton experience across many of our businesses. They are very well-traveled in terms of not only living, but leading businesses that are global in nature. It is a team that, if you look at the financial results that we've posted this quarter and this year, despite some very challenging times, this is a team that is a group of self-starters that knows how to execute. And I'm very proud of the record that they've posted. To have 18% operating margins as we produced in the third quarter at a time when demand is severely depressed is really unprecedented in our history. To have that kind of adverse external environment with the kind of profitability we've produced is a testament to the kind of leadership that we have heading these various businesses and sales regions.
Great. Thanks for the background info. And so what specific goals and milestones does the management team hope to accomplish over the course of the next year?
Well, I think we are right at a pivot point as we are moving out of a period of time where the number one priority for Nordson and any responsibly run company was to ensure that the liquidity of the company and the conservative spending approach was there to ensure that regardless of where the weakness that was in the economy was headed, they were going to survive to fight another day and be able to sustain itself and emerge stronger and more capable than the competition. And we have done that, and frankly, we're now at a point where we are on the backside. Our profit ratios are back up at record levels, and we're out there now beginning to look at where some of those investment opportunities, whether it be a new product or new end market investment opportunities, exist. And of course, we'll be looking at whether there's external investments that we can make as well, as we've discussed. So our focus now is to preserve and capture the strength and cost structures that we've put in place here over the last 10 months, and to extend this record of consecutive revenue growth increases, and in fact accelerate and expand that, so we can hit some of the records that we think we can put up on the board in terms of both sales growth and more importantly, profit growth.
Great. And so in terms of investors, do you think that investors right now understand the general direction and message of the company?
I would say that we have a very loyal and well-informed group of shareholders, as well as some investment analysts that work for the major investment firms that write research in Nordson. And we're blessed with some people that have long tenure and following the company and understand the pivot points that really do make a difference in our relative success. So I think that they do. We work hard. Greg and Jim and I think it's important to get the story out and have a full and open discussion around what makes us unique as an organization and why we are worthy of consideration by investors.
Certainly. And once again, joining us today is Edward Campbell, CEO, President, and Chairman of Nordson Corporation, as well as Greg Thaxton, the CFO. Excuse me. Currently trading on NASDAQ, and the ticker symbol is NDSN, and is currently trading at $53.41 a share. And so before we conclude, gentlemen, what are some of the key reasons, just to kind of rehash everything, why investors should consider the company NDSN as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, Juan, first of all, wind this up, let me thank you for giving this opportunity to tell the story. And I'm not going to try to be an expert on what a share price ought to be, but what we believe as a management team is that we're going to focus on the commercial and operating success of this organization, and we believe if we produce the results that we've been producing, then we're going to be worthy of investment and interest on the part of the investment community. But the things that make us unique are we start with the fact that we have very strong technology positions in the businesses in which we operate. We are clear global leaders and across our three market segments with operations and commercial support personnel in all of the rapidly growing investment markets. We're blessed with a direct sales and distribution team that cuts across 30 countries, where we have sales that are over 70% of our total, again, outside the United States. So that combination of leadership, strong market position, diverse end markets, and the kind of financial numbers that we posted today with gross margins that were at 59% of sales and operating margins at 18% of sales. In my experience over the years, I think this is an interesting company, and it's one that we're all very excited to be a part of.
Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to report on the company's progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today and to update our investors.
Okay, Juan, well, thank you very much.